Do it now. 800-289-2646.
It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. It's the Mel Taylor Show every Friday afternoon from 3 until 6. Thank you for tuning in, getting ready for the weekend. I think we can chill now, take a deep breath and exhale. Maybe we've had it up to here with economics and city talk and litigation and Oprah requests, all fun stuff, all interesting stuff, technology talk. But very infrequently, I've never talked about fishing on this radio show. Now, we do have a fishing program, the Rack and Fin Show, every Saturday morning, right? And this voice, sometimes you hear it on the air here at WPG, right?
Oh, yeah. I almost see Tom P quite often, but it's nice to be back in the studio at a little different hour.
Yeah, so Dave from Absecon Sportsman Center. How do you pronounce your last name, Dave?
Scholl, David Scholl.
And how did I meet you? You looked at me when you walked in the studio and said, I still don't know who this guy is. But you trusted me enough to come in.
anything to get a voice heard about the fishing in, you know, here in South Jersey.
And I was just driving around last summer and sometime in May, and I go, where's this Absecon Sportsman Center? Let me go check it out. So I'm coming down, I think, the Black Horse or the White Horse. The White Horse
Pike. White Horse Pike, yeah.
Before I was heading into Brigantine in Atlantic City, I took a left, and then boom, I found your place. I see all these ducks everywhere, and I'm looking around and go, what's going on here? What are all these big tubs and all that kind of stuff? And I see all these shedder crabs, and that's when I saw you, and I figured I just stick a camera in your face and ask you all about these shedder crabs, right?
Yeah, well, that was a good time. That crab shed, it's pretty much the end of May, most of the month of June, and that's what drives me crazy, yeah, during that part of the year. But there's always something going on.
I think the stripers are biting the fatties, but they are offshore a good mile or so, huh?
Well, as a matter of fact, it just happens. I was out there about 7 o'clock this morning on the water, and it is absolutely the best South Jersey striper fishing that I've ever personally seen. And I've seen the big rise and the big fall and the rise again. And I tell you, right now, yeah, they're all inside of the 3 mile line from a mile to 2 miles. There's all the stripers you want from right now. Yeah, today they were from Little Egg Inlet all the way down to Great Egg Inlet, and everybody was catching.
No, but nobody off the beach.
There's a few, and I think with this nice weather, I'm hoping, because, you know, well, I got two stakes in the game. I run charters, and we had a fantastic day today, and I also sell the bait and tackle. And, you know, as far as selling bait, you know, the fishermen have to be able to get at the fish. And it's been a little tough if you're beachbound for this whole fall, but I think we still got a good chance of some really good fishing coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Ever since everybody now carries a digital camera in their pocket, no longer do you have to carry a camera. You have it on your phone, and with social media and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, people are taking pictures of all their catches. I mean, I see some 50-pounders, right? These are amazingly large fish, larger than the person that actually caught it.
Oh, yeah, there was a couple of pictures of some really youngsters that they hung on to some big fish this fall, you know, 50-pound plus, and it has been amazing, and it really is. You know, it's changed so much. You know, just a few years ago, you know, it was tough to get a picture out. You know, to get a picture, I had one of the first digital cameras. I had my own website, but you had to sit down and spend some time. You know, set aside a couple hours to actually get a good post together with some pictures.
We're talking to Dave from Absecon Sportsman Center, and sometimes you hear him on Saturday morning on the Rack and Fin Show, right? What time is that? 6, 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, right?
Well, I believe it's 6 o'clock in the morning on this station, this WPG, and he slides over with ESPN too for the next hour. Two chances to catch him.
So did I hear you correctly? Because as a fisherman, you've been doing this all your life. And I'm thinking you're no spring chicken, neither am I. But I'm pretty sure you said this is some of the best striper fishing you have seen ever.
You know, it's been a slow start this fall. I will not deny that. But, you know, in the last couple of weeks, you know, it really, really has turned on. But like you said, it's out in the ocean. You know, it's close to the beach, but it's a mile, 2 miles, and you're only allowed to catch a striper out to the 3 mile line. But it has been absolutely fantastic.
Is that the bait fish issue? Because if the bait fish came in, would they follow the bait fish?
Yes, and right now we're talking about menhaden or moss bunker, and the schools are just immense, and they're just so thick. It's quite a show. Actually, I saw a whale in feeding on them today right off in the front of Brigantine.
Feeding on the menhaden and
the
bunker?
Yeah, they eat the same thing, but they just grab a mouthful at a time. You know, the stripers do it one at a time. But
what is a striper? It's explain to everybody listening, because I'm not really a fisherman. My dad and my brothers are, and I can appreciate it, but they're striped bass, right?
They're striped bass. I won't go into Latin names because I don't have that, but it's a migratory fish. They actually spawn in fresh waters. The majority of the striped bass on the whole coast actually spawn in the Chesapeake Bay. We do have a good population, spawns in the Delaware Bay, and a limited number in our local rivers. The Mullica River and the Egg Harbor River do have their own population. So it's pretty much a year-round fishery, but this migration, the month of November, and depending on the weather, through the month of December until it just gets too cold, is their migration while they're headed south, and that's the very best of the year.
Is South Jersey and this area known for stripers?
Oh, yes.
From where to where?
Well, New Jersey, period, but for years and years, the world record was caught on Atlantic City jetty by Albert McReynolds. And so that was a 76-pound fish, and that held up until just the last year or so.
We are talking to Dave from Absecon Sportsman Center. We're talking stripers and fish, and maybe we talk about quotas and the pros and cons and poaching and keeping those poachers away from our fisheries. It's the Mel Taylor Show, WPG Talk Radio 1450, and we'll be right back with Dave talking fish.
Urologist Dan Zarrow.
It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. It's the Mel Taylor Show. Friday afternoons, 3 to 6. Thanks for tuning in as we talk fish and stripers. Some of the best fishing for stripers in years. That's what Captain Dave says from Absecon Sportsman Center. Is that really true? Some of the best striper fishing in...
Well, we've had a very, very tough time since Hurricane Sandy. It made some major changes in the structure of the beaches, the structure of the offshore areas, especially down here where it's so shallow. You go up to North Jersey, you go Point Pleasant, and it drops off so steep, so fast.
So the underwater topography is a big reason why some fish stay here and some fish stay away from there.
Oh yeah, every fish has their own. Everybody, the same as people, they have their own wants and what they like. And, basically when these stripers are migrating, they seem to like to have at least 50 feet of water underneath them. And 50 feet of water down here puts you out past the 3 mile line where you're not even allowed to chase them. But
is the jetty they built just south of Brigantine, north of Atlantic City, did that jetty kind of affect the underwater topography, which might have affected positively the striper fishing?
Well, that's been there for an awful lot of years. And those jetties, they're good structure themselves. They attract the food. They attract the stripers. They give them a place to feed. But like I said, the last couple of years, there hasn't been a whole lot coming in. Right now, we mentioned menhaden before. The menhaden have stayed in close, stayed in shallow, and that is just the absolute best food forage fish for striped bass. I said, there was a whale out there today. The whales are in on them. It's just, almost all oil and protein, these fish. That's the problem with the fish, the big production boats that catch it to turn it into fish meal. And in the past, they've really decimated the populations.
Because they're so doggone efficient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These big boats are amazing. But what's happened now, they've cut back on their quotas, and you know, the menhaden are coming back, the food, and these stripers that we're catching are just, you know, just amazingly
fat. Is that also possibly attracting the humpback whale we've been seeing, maybe the great whites? Is there, what would you say, why are we seeing this wide variety of stuff that you don't see very often?
Oh, yeah, the humpbacks, the whales, you know, I haven't seen as many as I know that are out there right now. I do run a small boat. You know, my specialty is actually fishing in the Back Bay, and I've caught fish with my charters every day this year, but it's been tough. But out in the ocean, this is, you know, the menhaden are there for the fish to eat, and it is just been a really, really, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, they finally were hanging north. You know, and here's something that, and some people just don't like to discuss, but we're looking at 50 degree water temperature now in December, which is warm. You know, over the years I've been, you know, on the water, you know, now since, you know, for over 40 years, over, you know, actually about 50 years I've been on the water, and you know, just about any time of the year, and there's definitely everything is warming up. There is a noticeable, you know, warming of the ocean, of the environment, and it is changing things around. You know, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at still another 2, 3, 4 weeks of good striper fishing.
So even though it's not really a good thing when you, it's maybe some people can connect it to global warming, could be the currents, whatever the case may be, it's benefiting fishing, is what you're saying.
Well, yes and no. We had a slow start, and these fish have been holding up in the New York area. You know,
they're waiting for those temperature changes.
Oh yeah, they definitely move with the temperature.
And are people catching stripers just because they're so doggone big, or are they good eating fish?
Oh, well, they're extremely good eating fish. The demand is there, and well, luckily for the stripers, luckily for the recreational fishermen, New Jersey has actually, you know, they have made striped bass a recreational game fish in New Jersey, so there is no sale of any way, shape, or form of striped bass. You know,
explain that. How does that happen? How do you keep striped bass from being sold at a fish market or a supermarket? New Jersey designates it as a sport fish and says, no, you can catch it to eat it, but you can't buy it. How does that, whereas flounder, it's like the flip side. Everybody wants to catch a flounder, but it's almost impossible. You have to go pay $7, $8, $9, $11 a pound.
Well, what happened is it actually the state government, you know, our assembly, and, you know, they passed a bill, the governor signed it, and, you know, basically made it a game fish. And it's been just an amazing help here, you know, in the state. And now there's, you know, the whole list of states, I don't have them all in my head. I wasn't coming.
So let's talk quotas, because it seems like every year there's bad news in regards to what you can catch, what the bare minimum sizes must be, what you have to throw back. While, you know, you're what's it, 18? What's a flounder now? 18?
Yeah,
something?
Flounders are 18 inches, which is too big. Yeah.
So you get one that's 17 and a half, you got to throw it back. But, you know, out there, a couple of miles offshore, these big giant draggers, they're picking up everything, even just 6 inches big, and they are just, they're just putting them in and processing them and making you buy them in a store. Why is that happen? Why are they so draconian? Why don't they let us catch more flounder? I can't imagine a sport fisherman on the beach with his kid, summer vacation, maybe going out on the fish finder, maybe going out on the some of the party boats. Why can't they let those kids take home some flounder? That won't deplete the species, would it?
Well, yeah, they do a lot of studying, and I'd have a, you know, I'm not really ready to condemn everything, but they definitely, I feel, have a lot of things mixed up. You know, they are. The commercial draggers, now they're hurting too. They've cut back an awful lot, so it's not like everything. But they do have a 14-inch size limit, where we have an 18, which that right there is not, it's not fair. Well,
so explain that, because that's a competitor to you, a commercial dragger. What exactly is the definition of a commercial dragger?
Well, the draggers are pulling a big net behind them that, you know, basically, you know, they drag it along the bottom, and, you know, and the flounders swim up, and they just end up scooped up in the net.
And they get more than just flounder. They get everything.
Well, yes, but, you know, and they do get everything, and this is, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't think about, but over the last few years, you've seen a whole lot more, like, you know, a whole lot more skates in the water, a whole lot more big stingrays, little stingrays, a whole lot more of various types of sharks, you know, small inshore sharks. And a lot of that, I believe, has to do that these fish used to be, because they have cut back on the draggers, they're not allowed to fish near the amount that they were, so that these fish now get a chance to escape where they were caught, dragged up on deck, and then, you know, they died on deck and were just shoveled overboard because there was no market for them.
With the netting, there's technology that allows other fish that they don't want, the bycatch or whatever, to escape. Don't they try to create technology and embed it within the netting?
Well, they do, and in the flounder, they have to use a certain size that allows the smaller fish to go through it. But, you know, you can't, you know, there is certain things. You can let smaller fish go through bigger holes, but when it comes down to fish basically the same size, you know, they have turtle excluders that will help turtles escape. They have, you know, if you're shrimp netting, they have special, you know, fish excluders, but... Well, one fish or another that's a similar size, you really, it's hard to exclude.
So they have these quotas, and you have to have a license, and sometimes these licenses are free, but they just want you to track what you catch. This is the state trying to get a better sense of what's out there, right?
Well, as far as commercial licenses, yeah, nothing's free. In New Jersey, they do... You know, for saltwater fishing, there is a recreational registration, a saltwater registration, where every person that fishes in saltwater is supposed to go online. It is absolutely free. It takes about 30 seconds. They just want a name and address, and then they want to know who is fishing so that they can do telephone surveys and call you up and, you know, call up the people that are fishing and get some kind of accurate idea of what is being caught.
Let me give you a little quick lightning round here. Just give me a few thoughts on each of these species. Summer flounder, fluke, how are we doing with that real quick?
Well, this was a very strange year, but I really think we're going backwards. You know, they want to fish too big. We have to throw back nice fish, and I think we're killing a lot of fish that could go home in the pan.
Are the populations healthy? But we're just the individual angler is just not allowed to get them?
Well, I believe they're healthy. They say the population is recovered, but then they're trying to do something that hasn't been there. I think, you know, one real quick thing on all, and my idea is there should be something that's reasonable as opposed to, you know, maximizing. You know, flounder, everybody could be happy if they were allowed to take 4 16-inch fish home. Everybody would be happy.
You feed your family, right?
You feed the family. And I think the flounder would be very good. Right now it's 18 inches. You might have to catch 100 fish to take 2 18-inchers home. You're going to kill more fish of the ones you catch and throw back than the ones that you actually – and then if you were allowed to take 4 16-inchers home, you know, it would be a no-brainer, but...
How about weak fish and blue fish and the tog or the tautog?
Well, weak fish, that's a tough one because the weak fish have done a disappearing act. Some people like to say they've been caught. I personally think they're actually somewhere else, and there's even reports that they could be as far away as Africa. But that's a tough one. The bluefish are one... Yeah, one fish that there seems to be plenty of, but they tend to move around a lot. Last spring in May, there were more fish, more bluefish came into these, and bigger bluefish into the local bays, you know, especially Great Bay and Great Egg Harbor Bay, than anybody ever knows. You know, and it was Well, that was a situation where they actually came in chasing the bunker, like the Stripers are chasing bunker now, and they were just all over the place for over a month.
So, Dave, how did I do? You know, it's my first time. So, Mel Taylor, WPG Talk Radio 1450. Typically, I talk about the economy, Atlantic City, politics, development, everything from building and real estate values. And all of a sudden, I said, I want to take a left turn, a right turn. Did I kind of fake it? Did I get at least a C-plus in your eyes in regards to having a fairly acceptable conversation about local South Jersey fishing?
Oh, I think we're doing great. And you know, you're talking about tourism, and this is a big tourism idea. You know, we have all, you know, number one, people have their own boats, you know, their own, you know, there's local people, but you have so many people, especially the Philadelphia area, that come straight down, will tow boats down for the weekend. You know, and things are going good. Look, we have, you know, it's competition, yeah, no doubt to me. But look, we've actually attracted this big Bass Pro Shops into the area that you know, I hope they're doing well, because I think they will attract more fishermen in the area, which in the long run will help me sell more bait.
I think that most people don't realize that Bass Pro Shop probably sells more non-fishing stuff than anything else, because I go in there for all my underwear and socks and shirts and bathing suits. So even though most people think it's for hunting and fishing, that's really a small percentage. So I get that sense. I still think people think Bass Pro is all fishing, but...
You know, tell you what, you know, I just get so tied up around a store, you know. It's one of these things about having your own business. I can't, you know, really get out too often. And I was, you know, I was dealing with a customer, you know, trying to get him through the door so I could rush, get in the truck and run down here. And everything worked out very well. But it just, you know, business is a pretty, when things are going good, they're going real good. When they're going bad, they're real bad.
Well, Dave, Captain Dave from Absecon Sportsman Center, we have run out of time, but it's been great talking about stripers and fishing. So where can people find Captain Dave Absecon, the Absecon Sportsman Center online, and where can we find you at your location in Absecon?
Yeah, we're right on Absecon Creek. You're just right off, you know, right at the end of Berkeley Avenue or Natalie Terrace off of Shore Road. And yeah, the easiest way to get there to find out anything about me, you know, Facebook has made it so easy. I keep an extensive Facebook page on facebook.com/Absecon Bay. And, you know, that I'm updated several times a day. So if you want to know how the fishing is, that's a great place to look.
All right, Dave, thanks, and we'll talk to you soon. It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. We'll be right back.